Just in the past year, I think we go soul winning on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, some also. But this past year, I think four adults, one man, and three ladies received the Lord, and around 10 children. So praise the Lord, he's at work. So open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 and then verses 1 and 4 and then 7 through 12. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In for yourself, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Oh, verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Tonight, work in our hearts. Help us to know what you want us to do, and that you may be glorified through our lives. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever seen a UPS driver at work? They drive this big brown truck, and if you'll notice one thing about them, they never stand still. They're always on the move. They're always kind of in a hurry. And why is that? It's because they're being watched. Every place they go, they carry this handheld computer that tracks every move they make. So by the end of the day, they've gone through maybe 150 to 200 stops, and they're being timed as they do it. So they're taught to have a real urgency in their work and in delivering their packages. And can you imagine if we Christians had such an urgency of getting out the gospel? We might turn the world upside down. So as I prepared this message, tears came to my eyes because I thought to myself, Lord, how urgent am I at getting out the gospel? And let's never think that there's a lot of time or, oh, we can do it another day, because it is very urgent. Today I want to talk about the work of a missionary, and not the work of a missionary only, but of every Christian. And three things. The first thing is, it's urgent we get out the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Second, it's urgent we care for the new converts, disciple them. And third, it's urgent that we be a good example to them. So look at verse 1. As Paul and Silas, Timothy, went into Thessalonica, here's what happened. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." Their entrance into Thessalonica was very fruitful. If you read chapter 1, you'll see that. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Every place they went, they were spreading the word. Their faith was spread throughout the country, north and south. And it was very fruitful. And look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God." So, I want you to look at verse 4 first. Okay. It says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." Verses 1 through 6, it talks about Paul's motives for sharing the gospel. And we're not going to look, there's good motives and there's bad motives. We're going to look at the good motives in verse 4. He says, "We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing man, but God which trieth our hearts." So we see that Paul knew he was entrusted with the gospel. And he was out to please God. And so he was ready to speak the gospel no matter what. But he also notice says, "which trieth our hearts." God is watching also. So it's important that we share the gospel and how we do it also. But in verse 2, then I'll read again. It says, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." So we know when they went to Philippi, you all know the story. They were whipped. They were thrown into prison. Their feet were put in the stocks. But if you remember, after they left Philippi, they went to Thessalonica. And they faced the same contention. But they didn't give up. They kept on sharing the gospel. He knew that he was entrusted with the gospel. So he says, "We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." He was bold. Why? Because he saw what God did in Philippi. He would never forget that. He was, if you remember, Lydia came to know the Lord and her family. They were baptized. And then after they drove out the demon from the girl who could tell the future, they were arrested, they were whipped, beaten, their backs bleeding, their feet were in the stocks in prison. Well, what happened? Praying at midnight, singing, praising God, God sent an earthquake. And the prison doors flew open, all the prisoners were loosed, and what happened? The jailer came and fell at Paul's feet and said, "What must I do to be saved?" and of course him and his whole household were saved and baptized. Paul would never forget that. I don't think I would either. But so he was bold in his God, and he knew God's presence. He knew God's power. He knew that he was entrusted with the gospel, and that's why he spoke, regardless the contention against, or the opposition against him. His efforts were not in vain. They were fruitful. And the next thing you're going to see is how Paul treated the new believers. In verse 7, it says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Here we see a nursing mother taking care of her baby, her young children. We see a lot of that in Thailand. Everybody nurses. They all have lots of kids. Some nurse 1 year, 2 years, some even 3 years, they're still nursing. So do you know that there's a special bond between a mother and that child? She doesn't want anybody else. And the same should be true if you've led somebody to the Lord. You're their spiritual parent. There will be a special bond between you and that person. And the point of it is that child gets personal attention. A new convert needs personal attention. It needs one-on-one. And so we need to cherish that person. And be gentle with a new convert, because they don't know how to walk with the Lord, especially in a country, in a pagan nation that has no example to follow. They just don't know. You have to be really patient, because you think, when I got there, I was kind of ignorant. I think, well, somebody receives the Lord, they're going to automatically follow the Lord. Well, that doesn't always happen, because they need a lot of care. They need to learn how to walk with God. They do things that are foolish. They stumble and fall. They need somebody to pick them up. And so they need to know priorities, how to pray, how to trust God, that they're redeemed to witness, to worship God. Sometimes our new believers, I mean, we teach, they know Sunday is important, but, oh, we ask, well, where'd they go this Sunday? Well, they were giving out free blankets, so they went and got that instead. You know, you have to be patient with them. But now our believers are starting to be really faithful, and we're thankful for that. It's hard work, but it's worth it. It's in verse 8, it says, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." You know, it's important to share the gospel, but we don't just impart the gospel only. We have to give our own selves. And sometimes we have to sacrifice, give up things that we might like to do, give it up in order to do what God wants us to do, to help a young believer to grow. So if you don't help them grow, there's the risk that, one, they're going to be a spiritual dropout, like an orphan child with no mother. No, you know, they'll never get connected in the local body. Or they may stay an infant, never, and needing care all their life instead of being able to help somebody else. So they they need tender care, and they need somebody who's going to love them and help them grow. So Paul's goal was, one thing, it says they become very dear unto, he said, being affectionately desirous, and ye were dear unto us. When we left to come to America this past Sunday, it was Sunday there, after church, one of the ladies stood up and gave testimony. And a lady, she was a former shaman and many troubles in her life. And she said, oh, today my mom and my dad are leaving us. He says, we're going to cry. And she just said how thankful she was that God had sent us. She didn't know what she would do if we never came there. So they become very dear to you. They're our family now. So, and a few others wrote us notes, and it was special. Look at verse 9. Paul said, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you as we preached unto you the gospel of God. So Paul, he labored day and night. I believe it's like during the day he made tents. He was a tent maker. He made it to support himself and his team. He didn't want to be a stumbling block to the people. So he worked hard. But it says he worked night and day. I believe in the day he worked making tents. At night he was out going house to house. He was teaching, doing one-on-one, sharing the gospel. He worked hard to provide his needs and the needs of the believers. So his goal was to present everyone perfect in Christ. So he says he labored in Colossians. He labored striving that he would not. And he says, you know what great conflict I have for you. He was working hard to help those believers grow. And discipling is a hard work. It takes time, it takes sacrifice. But in the end, it pays off, because then you have somebody who can reproduce another Christian. He can help somebody else grow instead of being an infant and having to have somebody help him his whole life. Okay, so the first thing, it's urgent we share the gospel. It's entrusted to us. Second, it's urgent that we help them grow, that we care for them. And third, it's urgent that we be a good example to them. In verse 10, Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians. He said, ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So he says, you saw how we behaved ourselves. They lived holy, just lives. And we believers, it's so important, our example. They were an example to them. In verse 11, he says, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged everyone. They saw how Paul treated them and how it's so important that we be a good example. If you read all of chapter 2, you'll see many times Paul says this. Starting in verse 1, he says, for yourself, brethren, know. He said they saw what they did when they came into Thessalonica. Three times he says, as you know. He said twice, God is witness. Verse 9 says, for you remember. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. They were a good example to those believers. And you know what? those believers followed their example. If you look at chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." And then verse 7, "So we were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So they followed Paul's example, and they in turn were examples to others. Their faith was spread everywhere. So, it's important that we get the gospel out. That's vitally important. Second, that we disciple the new converts, care for them. And third, that our lives be an example. Because, you know what? They need God's word, but they're going to learn a lot quicker by your example. And we see the couple we work with. When we came there, they were pretty rough around the edges. But God has just transformed their lives. And of course, it's God's word that did it. But they see our example. And we get comments all the time from the church, from the people in the village. "Oh, don't you guys ever argue?" Or, of course, we're not perfect, but they see quite a difference, and God is at work. So I just want to conclude with this thought. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us." We are just ordinary vessels, clay pots, but we have this treasure in us. It's the most precious thing in the world, the most valuable thing. It has power to save souls, to change lives, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we can't keep it to ourselves. We've got to get out and share it. And, you know, we might turn the world upside down. So God has entrusted it to us. Maybe you're here tonight, and maybe you want to, you're serving the Lord, you're doing all you can, but maybe God's calling you to full-time serve the Lord, maybe in another part of the world. You know, if he's calling you, don't open your heart. And Pastor Myers, would you like to close? Okay,